much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We just smoked way too much weed. Here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What would your one superpower? What would you want to be if you had one, if you had a superpower?
If I had a superpower, it would be able to have two livers instead of one, man. So I could handle beer like a champ twice.
No. But you promised you're not going to disappear from radio. You intend to do radio in the UK. Are you going to do it with the British accent, though?
I don't think so. I don't think I've got a British accent. I'm working on it now, though, if I can. I have some work to do, guys.
That's going to be the tape that he sends over.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, thanks for being on my demo. Yeah, yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Put your finger here. Try this.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I freaking love this guy.
Roll another one.
It's gonna be crazy.
Just like the other one.
Woo!
This one seems to be about to quit.
Hey, is that Allie?
And I
What's
need
up, girl?
Another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I am the urinator.
Roll another one.
Bomb. Bomb.
Just like the other one.
Bong, bong.
This one seems to be about.
So break out the tissues, because you're going to want to masturbate to all of them.
It's a fact. It can't be disputed.
Just pass it around.
Taint Wars.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
See, that feels over the top, too.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
Good looking out, kid. It's awesome. Keep doing the right thing. You make America proud, and Uncle Sam's proud, and Jesus just had a little tear because he's so proud of you. Awesome.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 7th of June.
What's up, coneheads?
All right. Oh, look at that.
In theme.
Nicely done.
Oh, finally.
Yep.
Got one.
Well, Dan Aykroyd's coming in today, so that makes
perfect
sense.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That was a nice coincidence, though. Kevin, would you say you had your card key this morning, or you did not have your card key this morning?
You mean technically before I left or when I got to the building?
When you got to the building.
You're asking technically.
I'm saying when you arrived to enter the building where K-Rock is, did you have a piece of plastic in your hand?
And may I remind you,
that made that possible?
You're under oath.
I didn't realize I was under oath.
Yes.
I had less of a key card than I did yesterday.
Okay. You prefaced your answer with wanting to know if he meant when you left your house and when you got here.
Mm-hmm.
Did anything happen in between those that you could lost?
But I've lost stuff.
In your
car. It's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
I get here and I go, I had it when I left. I tear the car apart. I have no idea what's going on.
Follow-up question?
Yeah.
Am I
still under oath?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you check the car after you couldn't find it when you were on the bridge to get in?
I did not.
Okay.
Because I remembered exactly where it was. I had left.
Does anyone anyone have a follow-up?
Yeah, where was it?
It was on my door handle on my bedroom.
Why did you put it there?
I just put it there every once in a while.
Were you alerting someone that you were getting busy?
Like a sock on a doorbell.
Like I used to leave a scrunchie.
It was on the inside. Maybe I could have played that better. It was on the inside of the door.
That won't help.
Kevin, serious question. Why don't you punch a hole in it and attach it to your keychain so that you cannot drive without
it? I already hate my keys. They're huge and bulky and
so mad at his keys.
Nightmarish.
As you know, the keys are just, they bog you down, man. Yeah.
That's right.
Pounds well, he's like Schneider from One Day at a Time with all those keys. Right. Great reference. Look it up.
I like to travel light.
Could barely lift it. How often would you say you don't have your key card?
Is this questioning still going on?
You're still under oath.
Fascinated by it. Because as I always say, I got one key
card.
Yeah,
shut up. You never go to an office.
But that makes it even more remarkable that I don't lose it. Because I'm able to find
it. You never need it.
In between months
at
a time.
I object, Your Honor. This line of questioning is out of line.
I'm able to find it and then bring it
to
California.
Wow, congratulations.
And still show up at the building and get it. I had one key card the entire time we worked at
K-Rock. Let me just recap. So you remember it 3 days a year? Possibly.
The fact that I don't lose it
and
when I don't
use
see
it every single day?
Jensen and Allie.
Not the same.
Don't you think it's an accomplishment to not lose it when you don't use it for months at a time?
I feel like if you have a specific drawer that you know where it is, I mean, that's one step above Kevin.
But
because
wait,
Kevin doesn't really have
so
anywhere
So 3 days
specific.
A year equals the entire year every day
it's
for
a,
me.
It's a different, it's apples and oranges.
It's a different
But the same talent, the same talent of knowing where something is and keeping it there always and never moving
it.
But
and much, traveling with it and traveling 3,000 miles with it.
Wow,
and not
how do you do it? Three times a year.
Get on a plane and not lose it and then take it to the station.
You're
and
a miracle.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why do you take it out of your car?
Because you have to get in the building with it.
No, I mean,
it's usually in my pocket.
When he gets home.
It's usually in my pocket.
Okay.
And I just took it out of my pocket because I changed shorts and I didn't know. Yeah, I don't know. I found it. I was like, I'll put it on the doorknob. There's no way I'll forget this.
I'm sorry. I'm just fascinated with this.
Yeah, I know you are, but.
And I'd also like to say.
I just forgot my key card.
I'd also like to say, just for the prosecution here, I did live in Los Angeles for 9.5 years and never lost it one time.
Overruled.
Sustained.
I mean, I feel like that's
legitimate. Can I be the judge, too?
that seems like a conflict of interest.
It's just, I don't know. I feel, I guess you're used to being you.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, this isn't the part of me that I love. I'll tell you that.
Right, because I just feel like if I just would hit myself in the head and I would feel like such a dummy.
Yes, but if you did that a lot, then you'd have to stop hitting yourself in the head.
You just have to accept this is the way it is.
Yeah.
This is my lot
in
life.
And it's not necessarily something I'm proud of. Like, it's not in my top three of things I'm proud of. But I rule innocent.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
Wow.
Well,
I guess we put on our best prosecution.
And what are you going to do?
And the jury was not convinced, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you made it into the building.
Thanks.
You look good. You feel good.
Yes, yes.
You're tan. You're rested. You're ready.
I'm ready to go.
All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean show, shall we?
Who on earth would listen to that?
Was that done? Keep it 100 because
it's
Friday.
Were you waiting for someone to answer?
It sounded like there was some noise after it, so I thought there was a follow-up clip.
Yeah, she kept going.
Yeah. We also have Dan Aykroyd in studio. Did we mention that?
It's going to be awesome.
35th anniversary of Ghostbusters.
He created it, man. It came out of his brain.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
How exciting is that?
Created the Blues Brothers, too.
Right?
He's also the mastermind behind Nothing But Trouble.
Okay.
Let's leave out Celtic Pride, right?
I mean, he's done a lot of things, but
well, we don't
I
have
don't
to
think
name all
Nothing
of
But Trouble is... high on that list.
I'm going to tell you that Jensen does have a DVD of that movie, and I assume he's going to ask to get it signed.
It's sitting in front of me.
Or ask to get it burned.
Right?
We'll see.
Could be. Listener Megan let us know yesterday that she gave birth and didn't know she was pregnant.
Until the baby was coming out.
That is astonishing.
Yeah,
I don't believe. I mean, I believe it. It's true. I can't believe it just by its nature in the fact that I have a 8-month pregnant wife. And all it does is dominate our entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Mickelson, who I'm very excited about. He is the CEO of Kangaroo. This is the ridiculous company that thinks that pogo sticks are going to replace a scooter in San Francisco.
Don't call them ridiculous if you're trying to get a job as their spokesperson.
Pogo sticks.
Yeah, Kevin, we need to
have any of you read a pogo stick? I mean, ridden one.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's super hard.
But I think you need to have in your head before the interview some of the reasons that you can share with Adam why you should be the face of Kangaroo here in Los Angeles.
Is he looking for a face?
He should be. And if he isn't, you're putting that in there.
You're very high profile.
So I have to go the opposite way and say this is a great idea, especially in San Francisco.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give that a try. And also our feature condiments. What's up? We'll take it on 6.7 K-Rock. Is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 6.
Did we mention it was Friday, by the way? Because I feel like that needs to be mentioned.
It's Friday.
Appreciate the support. Friday is like 10% better than Friday. So
it is if you're not in the world living and
I don't
having
know how
a day.
Could be against that.
If your entire celebration is saying that word, then I assume it's important.
Allie is here with us.
Did you erase me?
It's a future one.
With our first look at what's happening here on a Friday.
What's going on?
Listen, you're up early and maybe you have a long day at work. How about if you get off work a little early, because I'm about to give you something, you guys. How about a pair of passes to see the Lumineers on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight?
Yay!
Let's take the first five callers at 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to check out the Lumineers tonight on Jimmy Kimmel Live. I mean, you get to see him before we see him tomorrow on the beach. So, I mean, enjoy your night tonight. We rule tomorrow. But still, it's a good prize.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
We don't yet. People are just starting to call.
Really.
So, 1-800-520-1067. First five winners, callers, will be winners.
We got a winner!
Again, not just yet.
Nelly.
Yeah, keep calling because we don't have those.
I miss the Oh Nelly days. Not sure where that came from.
It's good times. Well, congratulations, guys. We did it.
We did?
According to People magazine, Bradley Cooper and Irina Shayk have ended their 4-year relationship.
I mean, it's truly on us.
It really is.
We did the same thing to their relationship that we did to Limp Bizkit at Weenie Roast.
We willed it.
We talked about it until it happened.
It's the secret.
Yeah. Well, how do you, I mean, if you're either one of them, how do you wake up and roll over and see that face?
Right?
You
know? Right.
It's disgusting. Ugh.
Goodness. Of course, rumors have been spreading for a long time, but they really ramped up this week that there was trouble in the relationship, and they haven't been spotted out and about together since the Oscars. Which we all know what happened at the Oscars, huh?
Mm-hmm.
A little shallow on the stage, a little lovey-dovey looking at each other. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Lady Gaga.
Very sensual performance.
Very sensual. Don't ever say sensual again.
Ever.
Shallow on the stage, deep backstage.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
Jeez.
You one-upped sensual being gross.
We're not on the air yet.
Oh, that's right.
We didn't say anything before
Yeah. I always forget that.
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
All good.
All right. So, yeah, that's all according to People magazine. Rumors, of course, have been happening for a long time. The star's reps have not confirmed the news yet. So,
I got next. Irina Shayk, right?
Okay.
Is that how it works?
I got next on Bradley then.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that is how it works.
That's
you
how it
just
works,
say,
so
I got next.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And that's what happens.
All right, good.
All right. And just a reminder, you guys, you're up early. Maybe you're going to be swinging into work. Stop by a gas station. Mega Millions drawing is tonight, 8 p.m. That jackpot, it's about $530 million.
That's all?
Yeah. The cash option, about $343 million. Almost $344 million.
I mean, I take it.
Yeah.
330 basically is where I draw the line. Like, people
anything
below that,
below
why?
Why even not worth the house, yeah.
Why even bother?
Right.
If I win that tonight, I want you guys to know I'm still coming to the Weenie Roast.
That's just a lie.
To see Limp Bizkit.
That's
you know
just
what?
100% a lie.
I feel like you would.
He would.
I feel like he would.
Okay, maybe he does.
Next day.
Maybe he does, but Monday.
Yeah, never see him again.
Oh, yeah. No. You'll never see me again.
After Limp Bizkit,
my favorite part of this plan is that Bean will never reach out to us and tell us what happened. We will all know.
He just ghosts everyone.
That he won the lottery, and he will never speak to us again.
I think
it's probably 50 years from now. He'll write,
you know what happened.
Oh, he'll be dead by then. Sorry.
If you look over and just during Limp Bizkit, he's burning money. Just dollar by dollar. Laughing.
Amazing.
I could be burning $2 bills. How about that, Jensen?
Crazy.
Nuts. Well, I don't hope you win because you don't come back, but I hope someone we know wins.
Yeah.
And then,
and is very generous.
Is very generous with that money. Not just, you know, to us. To give us some money, but to charities, and really does the right thing.
But mostly us.
But mostly
and mostly cocaine. What?
And cocaine, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? This might be an outstanding time just to put it out there in our listeners' heads that if you, the Kevin and Bean listener, wins the lottery, the 300 or 500, whatever it ends up being, just remember all the years that we got up at the crack of ass to entertain you.
For free.
For free.
We never got paid for that.
For free. Yeah. That's right. We never got paid. That's right.
Never. None of them. The 30 years, whoever Kimmel came by, everyone who stopped by here did not get paid.
Right. Yeah, we all did it for free.
It's all volunteer.
Because we love you and we want to entertain you.
And we're generous.
Yes. And we're very generous. Yes. So just keep that in mind when you're doling out who gets a little bit here and there, all right?
And you know this secret, right? Gives you everything you want. Okay. Happiness, health, and wealth.
Excellent.
This is like having the universe as your catalog, and you flip through it and you go, well, I'd like to have this experience, and I'd like to have that product, and I'd like to have a person like that. It is you just placing your order with the universe.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to also add to that, maybe you had no idea that Mega Millions, the jackpot was up to $530 million.
Oh, and then you told them.
I told you.
Sure. So how would they have known that?
Yeah. Finder's fee.
That's what I'm saying. And finder's fee for the lottery, as we know, is 33%. So
yeah, that's
standard.
Law.
A
standard law.
It's a standard law.
This is what happens.
Yes.
I always wait for more
from
her, and never.
She seems like
I never
she says more.
All right, you guys, some birthdays for you. Bear Grylls, Allen Iverson, Michael Cera, Liam Neeson, Dave Navarro. Bill Hader. I love him so very much.
He's awesome.
Very.
Iggy Azalea and wrestler Mick Foley. And that's...
All right, look, every once in a while, we argue about stuff off the air for quite some time. And then it needs to just come on the air so we can just settle it once and for all.
Hash it out.
So we don't keep revisiting.
There's nothing to settle here. You're
wrong. Ketchup is the only condiment that matters.
Yesterday we found out that Kevin and Bean, in the cutest 30-year couple way, have two polar extremes of interests, and it's almost like a morning zoo joke. I like ketchup. I like mustard. We're Kevin and Bean mornings on the world-famous K-Rock. Like, it's almost jokey.
If I had known how pro-ketchup Kevin was, I would have left this show years ago.
But
I've only been able to work with him. It's like you know, nobody has seen the swastika tattoo on your back, Jensen, right? Like, if we saw it, we would look at you completely differently.
Jensen has that of all of us?
It's so weird that Jensen would have it.
It's also the size of my entire back.
That is strange.
So if
strange
we saw
choice.
That, obviously we'd never look at you the same way. That's how I feel about now knowing how Kevin loves ketchup. Now listen to this. This is dated today. From Fox News in Florida.
Fake
from
news.
The Fox affiliate in Florida. Pinellas Park. A Florida man is accused of pouring ketchup on his girlfriend while she slept shortly after the couple argued on Sunday.
Why would he do that?
Because they had a fight and then she went to sleep and he said, I'm going to get back to you. Peter Jacob Wagman, 31, charged with domestic battery, has pled not guilty. His girlfriend, Heather King, woke up shortly before 5 a.m. and discovered she was covered in ketchup.
Oh, did he want her to think it was blood and be frightened?
I don't think so. I think this was just him acting out, like Florida men do.
I mean, that is sort of a point in the mustard category because someone thinks ketchup is so disgusting.
That's my point.
Using it as a weapon.
That is my point.
Yeah, I'm thinking he did it so she'd wake up and go, "Oh my God, what happened?"
Right,
and think there was blood.
I think he tasted ketchup and he realized it's not worth ever putting in your mouth. It can only be used.
Plus, let me suggest he would have used mustard if there was any in his house.
Oh. So you're saying it's so disgusting he can't even keep it in his abode. Yeah.
Wow.
Both
ketchup
points.
He probably went to both neighbors and went, come on, somebody has to have mustard.
Ketchup is not in the top 20.
You're an
condiments.
Idiot.
It's not in the top
that's
20.
That's insane, Bean.
Okay, so people who love mustard think that's insane.
Are God's people, right?
I mean, not top 20?
Well, mustard is number one. But what I'm saying is, what about things like barbecue sauce,
love.
And soy sauce,
love.
And aioli sauce?
Love.
I mean, all of the. You have to admit, every one of those is better than ketchup.
No,
I don't have to
don't
admit
agree
that.
With that.
I love all of them.
Ketchup
but
is a staple, Bean.
Right.
It's a staple.
It's a foundation in which condiments are built.
For sure.
But the things
How
that
about
I just
relish?
Mentioned.
Huh?
Relish is a
relish
better condiment
sucks.
Than ketchup.
It's strong.
Relish
None of them are stronger than ketchup, first of all.
You don't think barbecue sauce is better than ketchup?
No.
Get out.
Well, he can't. We use him on the show. He's on the board. No, Kevin, go back.
Kevin,
no, we need
to
go back.
Yeah.
What
ordered to get out.
Where does ranch sit?
Ranch has got to be top five.
Damn good.
Got to be top five. Way ahead of ketchup, I'll tell you that.
Not if ketchup's number one.
I hate picking sides between my two dads, but I will say, I put ketchup higher than mustard.
I agree as well.
Okay, but here's my thing. You guys would all include mustard even in your top 20, maybe even in your top 10.
Sure. Yes, yes.
Bean says not top 20, and I'm saying that's ridiculous.
I'm saying I would not eat rather than eat something
it's
with ketchup.
It's just ridiculous.
Because
he's the insane. Gandhi of condiments.
He really is.
Because I hate it, because it's awful. Well, first of all, I'm not a tomato fan, and obviously it's hard to endorse
I love
ketchup.
You mentioned that yesterday, and I honestly all day was thinking, does he not eat like spaghetti and meatballs with tomato sauce?
No.
No.
I don't do tomatoes.
You don't because of the tomatoes?
What about pizza?
I hate tomatoes. You know, I do as little tomato as I can, but you can't get a pizza without it. Sometimes I get the white sauce.
Because it's
I mean? Yeah, but I hate tomatoes is what I'm saying.
How often do you eat pizza?
Did you get hurt by a tomato?
He raised tomatoes as he grew up as pets.
Oh, okay. By the way, you can weigh in on condiment talk if you want, if you have strong feelings on either ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise.
Oh, mayonnaise is great, too. Mm-hmm.
Or any other condiment, 1-800-520-1067. But particularly if you agree with me that ketchup is the devil's poop.
Especially if you agree with me.
Just one question. Do you not eat pizza a lot?
I do not eat pizza a lot.
What's not a lot?
I mean, a couple times a year, maybe.
You are a monster!
I knew to follow that up.
You're a monster!
Bean, it flies out of my butt like water, and I eat it more.
Didn't need to hear that.
No, you didn't. Okay. Disgusting! Okay, sorry.
But you're a monster!
Tomatoes, you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm saying no.
First, we found out about Kevin and bacon yesterday.
But by the way, I'm not taking the ridiculous stance that Bean is. I said, I like bacon, just don't love it.
Okay, which is crazy in itself.
If
but
I'm
now,
Bean, I say bacon will destroy the earth if blah, blah, blah. He's extreme.
You pizza both two times a year.
Yeah, that's crazy. Absurd. You both have stated sacrilegious things here on the radio.
We both have.
Yeah.
Huh.
What do you think the best-selling condiment in the United States is, you guys?
Ketchup.
Hellman's mayonnaise is number one.
Right.
Is the best selling condiment. Yes.
Huh.
Number two, Tostitos salsa.
All right.
Okay.
Number two, more salsa is sold than ketchup in this country. All right. Number three is Heinz ketchup. But I mean,
number three is what?
Is something else. It's not
Heinz ketchup.
It's not mayonnaise
or
salsa.
Mustard. On that list that you're reading from and making up from right now.
I don't have the list anymore.
Oh, how
I guess.
About that?
Oh, funny.
He doesn't have the list anymore.
That's disintegrated.
That's
funny because I have the list in front of me.
Okay.
I do.
Oh,
and the funniest
the
part
list
about
didn't
it,
disappear just
no,
now?
Weirdly, the internet kept it up.
How about that?
So the funniest part about this is I got to number six and I went, I got to number three, actually. Ketchup. Oh, cool. That's cool to see. Then I got to four and I go, oh, there it is. But I realized it's not number four. Mustard is an ad in between three and four. It says ad next to it. Four is Best Foods mayonnaise. Five is Kraft Miracle Whip mayonnaise.
Oh.
Six is Kraft mayonnaise. Seven, French's yellow mustard.
Seven.
Every possible mayonnaise out there.
Right?
People love mayonnaise.
Why are there five mayonnaises in the top seven? What's that about?
White people.
That is a shock.
And then French's mustard is right after that at number six.
Huh, how about that? My point is America has spoken.
America spoke in 2016, too, Kevin. Do you trust America?
Not in that case.
What I'm saying is, again, I would starve before I would eat something with ketchup.
Just
ketchup
stupid.
Is awful.
It's just a lie.
Awful.
It's stupid.
Awful. What about Tabasco sauce, by the way? What about all the fine family?
We haven't even started
Frank's
talking about sriracha.
Red hot sauce.
Sriracha.
Love.
Way better than ketchup.
No, I'm not saying better. I'm just saying.
It's obviously better.
Bean, you can't just like one and hate all the others. Most of these are great. I would even put ketchup, I don't know, just because I believe that's true in society, as in top 20. Mustard. I probably would.
Just because you see the benefit
yes,
of mustard.
Yes, but for me personally, no.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You don't use mustard at all?
I actively take mustard off of sandwiches or whatever it's on.
Really?
I actively scrape it off. Yeah, it just tastes terrible to me.
What is the mustard that has like the little things inside?
Dijon.
I really enjoy that.
Oh, see, I'm a just
crunchies.
Plain old yellow mustard girl.
Mm-hmm. How about Golden's?
Yeah, I'm just...
Are we just going to name brands now?
Well, I'm just saying there's a lot of different kinds of mustard.
Yeah, I'm a French's yellow.
Okay.
I have some people on hold if you want to...
Oh, yeah.
Go
yeah,
to
who
them.
Do we have?
All right, we have Diana in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Diana.
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
We can.
Yes, loud and clear. It's condiment talk. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, you guys. So I hate, hate ketchup.
Oh, I'm sorry, we were disconnected.
The line dropped. It's not my fault.
You hung up on her.
What are you talking about? You know how sometimes you're on the cell phone and it just goes dead? You just dial back.
I saw you press it.
She did start with, can you hear me? So,
right?
Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
It was a shaky connection.
Okay.
Let's go to Guillermo in Downey. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What say you?
Condiments, what's up?
Mustard sucks.
I can't eat
mustard at all.
All right, let's talk to you all day.
Oh, that call you got time for.
very clear.
What's your problem with mustard besides the fact that it is delicious and delightful?
Leading question, Your Honor.
I find it nasty. I can't eat anything with mustard on it.
Same.
I'd rather not eat the food if it has mustard.
I mean, I'll scrape it off so I get most of it off, and I'll still eat it. But it is annoying, and it does taste terrible.
Okay. I can't even scrape it off. Any little bit, I can still taste it.
You couldn't be more wrong.
Anything else, Guillermo?
you guys are off.
I would like Guillermo and Kevin to both be deported. Let's go to Blake in Riverside, who has a very controversial opinion that none of us agree with.
All right. Blake.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
Condiments, what's up?
I cannot stand any sort of condiment, no matter what it is, ketchup, mustard, relish, anything. If I have it, it makes me gag and feel sick.
What? So will you eat everything bland?
Everything is bland and perfect.
Wow. You're a simple man, Blake.
I am, but everybody says that's difficult.
No, it's very, very chill. Wait, Blake, so what is your, like, what do you eat, dude? Like, what is your stuff? Like, what's your favorite foods?
I like pizza. That is okay for some ungodly reason.
Okay.
But I would just get a burger, and it would be meat, cheese, bacon bun.
All right.
Simple.
Wow.
Plain and sweet.
I have one follow-up.
Do you eat sandpaper, you weirdo?
I have one follow-up.
Yeah.
Bean, can you and I agree that Blake is a terrible human being? Because he hates my ketchup and he hates your mustard.
I feel sorry for him more than I'm angry at him. Because I feel like his life is flavorless.
Why don't you have joy?
Yeah, we're not mad at you, Blake. We're just disappointed.
We're disappointed. Yeah. I want you to work on yourself, Blake, and get...
It is 6:53.
If you, like Kevin, have always wanted to pogo stick to work, have we got a company for you? We will introduce you to a representative of Kangaroo, coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock, and the great Ghostbuster himself, Dan Aykroyd, joins us in studio at 8. First, Allie's got what's happening on a Friday.
I feel like this whole NBA Finals, more is happening off the court.
Does seem like it, yeah.
That's in the news than the actual series. I couldn't tell you who's leading the series. Warriors,
same.
Raptors.
No, Raptors.
Raptors are?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
2-1?
Yes.
Okay.
So you've got all of the Drake nonsense with him thinking he's, you know, on the team. It's nuts. Trolling everybody as well. And then you've got the...
Injuries, obviously, off the court. I count that as off the court.
That isn't the point.
That isn't the point. What about the player that was pushed by the guy in the front row?
That's we're talking about Lowry. We're talking about this guy, Mark Stevens.
Yeah.
Who's a billionaire, basically.
He's the owner?
He's a part owner. Yeah. The way these things work is there's like 67 people.
Yeah, so it's like called a minority owner.
Is that how Magic and that whole group bought the Dodgers?
Yeah.
That kind of thing?
Or like Usher is a Cleveland Cavaliers owner. Like you hear all these stories.
You buy a stake in it.
But this guy really is quite a winner.
Yeah. It's just disgusting.
What happened?
Kyle Lowry jumps into the front row diving for a loose ball, bumps into a lot of people. That's the casualty of being in the front row. Yeah. And while he's sort of getting himself up, a dude two seats down just reaches over and pushes him. And like in a more of a disgusting push.
Yeah, his face.
And it looks like he's sort of yelling a profanity. That's what Kyle Lowry says he also did.
Like get the F out of here? Off?
Because he's a Raptor and they're in he's a Warriors owner.
Oh, okay.
It's not like he's not trying to help anyone.
Right.
He's actually stopping him from getting up.
Yeah.
Okay. And so obviously Kyle Lowry stood up and was like, "What are you doing?" and told the referees, and the officials actually kicked him out of the arena for the night. And now the NBA has ruled that he's suspended for a year. He can't go see his team play through the 2019-2020 season.
For a full year?
Full year. And he's going to owe, I think it's about $500,000.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Does that seem like an appropriate punishment?
Seems like too much to me.
Oh, God. Really? If you put your hands on a player,
I don't think he should be allowed in a basketball game.
I think he should sell his stake in the team. Absolutely.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, it's pretty crazy to do that. as my hat falls all over my face.
Jensen has been fighting with his headphones and his
I'm
hat.
I'm having a real argument
for
with
five
my headphones.
Now.
I just think, you know, this guy's worth, I just looked it up. It says his net worth is $2.3 billion.
So $500,000 fine is nothing.
Nothing.
So
but,
I guess maybe that.
But telling a rich white guy that he can't go see his basketball team play, that does seem sort of like a punishment he would take serious.
Sure.
But
of course.
F this dude.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
I'm down with that.
So not only that, but, of course, what happened at Game 3 courtside between Beyonce and the woman next to her. Did you see any of this video?
I did not see that, no.
I saw the video, but I didn't understand what was happening.
Well, here's the thing. Jay-Z and Beyonce were invited to the game via one of the owners of the Warriors, Joe LaCobb, and his wife, Nicole Curran, is next to Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
You see her lean over Beyonce to talk to Jay-Z. The Beehive lost their mind.
Well, it's a little rude, sure.
Well, you're going to come to find out what she was asking him.
Oh, okay.
So this all happens. They see this video, and then you kind of see Beyonce's face kind of like, why are you leaning over me type of thing? Like, what's happening? But even if Beyonce made no face, the Beehive would have come for this lady, because how dare you lean over Queen Bee? Well, this woman's Instagram lit up. She had no idea what was going on at all. She started getting texts from her friends saying, check your social media.
What's going on?
Thousands upon thousands of comments like, watch your back, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. She has since deleted her social media. And she talked to Ramona Shelburne from ESPN, and her name's Nicole Curran. She said she asked Jay-Z and Beyonce,
are we going to bone later?
No.
Okay.
What drink do you want? He says vodka soda. The crowd is so loud. She says with lime, leans in. You can now watch the video and you
and
see her
asking,
say
yeah.
with lime. And Jay-Z goes, yeah. She then leaves to go and get them cocktails. And the whole Beyonce fan base is now sending death threats.
Of course.
Got death threats over this. Insane. She's been crying nonstop. This woman, sure, she was wearing questionable boots. The boots weren't great, which I understand people were going off about
she
that.
She should have been banned from seeing her team for a year because of those boots.
And then, I mean, it's trending on Twitter, everything. Beyonce's publicist finally stepped forward to call out fans for spewing hate. But my question is this. At what point does Beyonce step in and say,
she has to.
Hey, lay off. You guys are a representation of me. You're psychotic. Stop it. And the fact that she hasn't yet, I'm going to say, Beyonce, this is a bad look for you.
I assume that's racist.
It's real bad.
I don't think she knows.
Absolutely.
She knows.
I don't know. Yeah. Her publicist put out a statement today. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I mean, she knows.
She knows. And I think the longer that you let your fans, like people that say, oh, I can't speak for my fans, they say what they want. You know what? You're an a-hole. You do speak for your fans. And if you put your foot down and said, no, stop doing that, that's not cool.
Here's what happened.
They would listen.
Yeah. I'm worthless. Okay. I bring nothing to the table.
All right.
And anyone that plays dumb about it just doesn't want to ruffle the feathers because they're getting a little bit of an ego trip out of this.
Stop reporting me, bro.
Does she need an ego trip, though? Beyonce?
Maybe I'm talking about other people, too.
Oh, hold on.
No,
now I'm confused.
No, I'm saying she could stop
Who are you shading
this.
Right now?
Right,
she
I can't
could
figure
stop
Hey,
this.
Stop rashing that person.
I'm sorry for rashing. She can stop this.
Right.
It's very simple.
Agreed.
She's choosing not to. So,
all right.
It's bad. It's all bad.
Sounds like
I'm
someone's
saying.
Asking for some Beehive action.
I mean, they'll come after me, sure.
Of course.
Like I care.
Oh, boy.
Give me a break. Some birthdays for you. Liam Neeson, Dave Navarro, Bill Hader, Iggy Azalea, Mick Foley, Michael Cera, and Allen Iverson. He used to play in the NBA. Remember him?
Sure.
Practice? Just talking practice.
1 hour from right now, Dan Aykroyd. In the studio.
I can't wait.
So excited.
So excited.
Not only that, in about a half an hour, we're going to talk to a Kevin-to-be listener. Remember yesterday, we were telling you about that woman in Britain who had 2 minutes' notice that she was about to give birth to a baby, had no idea she was pregnant.
And we said, how could that happen?
Jensen mocked that as a man who has an eight-month pregnant wife at home. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that even possible to not know? Well, one of our Kevin-to-be listeners contacted us. She had the exact same thing happen to her, and she's going to tell us the story in her own words coming up at 7:30. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. I saw an article in the Washington Post this morning that said, and this is a stunning statistic to me, 1 in 6 residents of our nation's capital are using those little scooters.
1 in 6?
1 in 6.
Wow.
You think they're everywhere on the streets of Los Angeles? Can you imagine what that's like in D.C.? You know, people are trying to figure out how to smart mobility is what the movement is called, trying to use fewer cars, trying to get around without having to park. And
it's
stuff.
That. It's also traffic. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense. Well, scooters are not the only way to go because, as we mentioned to you last week on the show, pogo sticks are coming, you guys. Pogo sticks.
What a great idea. You're stuck in traffic and a pogo stick goes by you. Awesome.
And also, they're so user-friendly.
Right.
Kevin, you would feel like an a-hole if you were sitting there in traffic on Wilshire Boulevard and a pogo stick went by you faster than you were able to drive.
Yeah, it just was flipping me off as he went.
Well, the CEO and founder of Kangaroo, Adam Mickelson, is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is not a joke. Adam is who he claims to be, and we have many questions about Kangaroo. How are you, Adam?
I'm pretty good. It's Friday, and it's starting to become afternoon over in Sweden. So,
all right.
Sun is shining.
Are you in Stockholm right now?
No, we're actually based in southern Sweden, up in Malmo.
I
will be in Stockholm. We'll be in Stockholm next week. So I'm
okay.
Kind of,
what about the rest of your schedule? Adam, do you pogo stick much in Sweden?
I would say, I mean, we're looking to kind of take it back because it's been quite quiet on the pogo stick markets. It basically were the pogo stick became like the Christmas gift of the year, like back in 94 or something when I was about 5 years old. So I haven't been jumping so much since then. But,
okay.
You know, oh, yeah, that Christmas that pogo sticks ruled the nation. I remember that.
Sorry, but I just want to clarify again. How long, then, has it been since you've been on a pogo stick?
I mean, since before we started to develop Kangaroo, it was probably, 25 years.
So 25 years ago you did it, and then you decided 25 years later to start a company and didn't try it out again?
I mean, for sure, the latest couple of months, I've been, you never forget the pogo stick skills from your childhood. So I mean, I've definitely, started to jump around again, but in between there,
what is it about a pogo stick, Adam? Let's cut right to the chase here. That you think makes more sense than a little e-scooter that are already so popular around the world?
Yeah, so basically, it's not about actually per se competing with the e-scooters, but what we want to do with the pogo stick is basically to spread joy. Have you ever seen a sad person jumping on a pogo stick?
Only when they wipe out.
That's kind of weird.
Have you ever seen a sad person jumping on a pogo stick? It's my next tattoo.
Yeah, that does sound like an Alanis Morissette lyric.
That's a great question.
So people can get around and be happy doing it, enjoy it, and have a little childlike wonder and joy in their life.
Yeah, that was kind of the starting point, because I think, I just turned 30, and, I think me and basically all of us is sometimes kind of missing their childhood days. And, when you're at the office and stuff, you have to be like super serious. So, jumping on a pogo stick is both healthy, because you burn, you burn more calories.
It's really difficult after a while.
Running.
Yeah. Adam, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Have you never been to San Francisco?
I have family up in Sonoma Valley, so I've been there like 10 times.
Okay.
Have you seen the streets and the incline?
Streets are, there's a lot of vertical action there in San Francisco.
Like, why not try this out in Nebraska, somewhere flat, is what I'm saying.
Not that this is a bad idea.
I mean, basically our strategy for the Bay Area and San Francisco is more about, you know, for example, in and around, you know, Golden Gate Park and mm-hmm. City Park. So it's not about that we're actually, you know, we're not that delusional that we see people, you know, actually using them the last mile transportation. It's more about, the last meter transportation, if you will.
I'm going to be honest. That's the first
the
time.
The last meter. So what you do is you take the e-scooter, mm-hmm. 24 miles, okay. and then for the last meter, you just get on the pogo stick and rip right to the end.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. I mean,
that's
a
good plan.
I was scared for a minute. He was delusional, but then he said he wasn't. So he's not.
What other projects are in development right now for your company?
Because we want to invest.
So basically, we do run an advertising and communication agency. So we. But
are you the ones that did the personal relaxation tent?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And explain that?
For sure.
It's just a tent at your office that you can go and hang out in?
It's basically a relaxation tent for grown-ups. So mm-hmm. basically you just you pop it up and you go in there and it's dark and you can, you know, have some alone time, do some meditation or just
do some medication.
Is that what they call in Sweden? Meditation?
Yes, 2 weeks of meditation. I don't speak Swedish, but are you hiring? Is there any possibility I can get a job working with Kangaroo?
We're currently in discussion with a couple of VCs right now, so we are probably going to need people in the U.S. and, you know,
I'm moving to Malmo.
A positive guy, so
listen, nobody on this planet would pogo stick better than Bean.
That's right.
Yeah,
I am moving to
years.
Malmo, Sweden, guys. Adam, before we let you go, and you're very kind to jump on, my friend Kevin here, I'm telling you, you don't know him and you've just met him on the phone. He would be the perfect face of your American operations. If you need a model who mm-hmm. looks great on a pogo stick, please consider our man Kevin for your print and your television campaigns. He would be phenomenal.
Yeah, for sure. We would definitely do that.
Oh, that sounds like a lie. I got to be honest.
That sounds like the brush off, Kevin.
Come on, Adam. We're in Hollywood. We've heard that before. Sounds great. We'll get back to you.
Kevin on a pogo stick, we would never stop watching, right?
I mean, I am basically a supermodel.
Even if he falls on his head, there's not. It's not going to affect anything.
Yeah, no one would notice.
That's a bad spokesperson.
All right, so what's the rollout here, Adam? When can we expect to see our first pogo stick on the streets here in America?
So we're probably looking at mid or late August, if everything goes
well. Come on. How about a little sooner, man?
No, we want it right at the height of summer. Because nobody's going to be sweating that last meter getting to work.
August in San Francisco is delightful. All right, Adam, you are a treasure, my friend. Kevin will look forward to posing for your photographs for the brochure, and I'll be
photos, whatever you want.
Whatever
Adam.
You want, yeah.
And
you
I'll know, be knocking on your door at Malmo in a few weeks here for a job. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye. I want to work for Adam Mickelson. I want to be part of his company.
Yeah.
How can you not?
Allie dropped a real bomb on us about another company he worked on.
Yeah,
another project.
Well, he's the head of the ad agency that has pitched huggable trench coats, mm-hmm. the Pause Pod, which we talked about, the relaxation tent. They also have pitched mustache protectors. So it's almost like his ad
now
agency
I work for him more.
Just pitches stuff that gets a ton of media exposure that never really follow through.
Then they do nothing.
However, it says that the tents are sold out.
I'm pushing for Adam to return to the Kevin and Bean
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Yeah.
I think anything he wants to pitch, he brings we're his us. First
he's,
stop.
He could be a genius, you guys. He's the next Elon Musk. We need to strap ourselves onto this rocket ride.
I just want to be part of the ride early, you know? Like, let us in.
Hey, sold out to K-Rock Weenie Rose Leo and Beach Party, by the way, is tomorrow. We do have another chance for you to win those tickets coming up later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. But Allie thought it would be a good idea, and I think I agree with her, because I had not taken a look at the list of what you can and can't take into the Weenie Roast. Now, mm-hmm. I know this doesn't affect everybody listening, but it's probably a good rule of thumb for most festival-type concerts anymore these days. Like, for instance, is this true, Allie, that oftentimes a lady cannot walk into a venue like we're having the Weenie Roast with a purse.
Yep. No Correct. Purse, no camera bags, no tote bags, no nothing of the sort. You have to have an approved bag, which is a clear tote. A small clutch bag has to be specific sizes in inches. You're allowed to bring a fanny pack that's non-clear.
But don't.
But don't.
Don't.
You really need, as a woman, to look at this and see if your bag makes the approved
list.
By
the way, speaking of which, it's not just Weenie Roast. That's everywhere now.
Yeah.
It's if you go to a concert, if you go to
Galaxy,
Staples Center,
and,
any place you go, this is pretty much how it is.
Is it tough to find clear bags for your purse stuff?
There isn't. Like, you just go to Amazon or whatever.
You just look purse stuff bag.
Purse stuff, a bag. But the problem is, if you've got stuff like you don't really care for everybody to see, they're seeing it.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, got my period. Those are tampons.
Right.
Right?
Got my diarrhea meds.
Yep.
Hey, you
those
can bring
anal beads. Thanks.
You bring a gallon plastic storage bag and put all your stuff. So if you want to look like a real creep, just walk around with a large Ziploc bag filled with all your belongings.
It does have a homeless vibe to it, doesn't
it?
Sure
does.
It
definitely does.
Now, you tell me, is this just because it's a K-Rock show, Kevin, or is this Galaxy Games and everywhere,
It's
too?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere.
No, no. My next question.
Oh.
Weapons, knives, firearms, or anything that security police deem a weapon. You want me to go to a show without a weapon, a knife, or a firearm?
Right. This is just at Doheny Beach. That
How am I supposed to protect myself
Everything
if things
else
go
is
off?
Fine.
Yeah, with past Lumineer shows have ended in gang violence.
No colors, no patches of affiliation like a motorcycle club or a gang, etc.
Yeah, but you can wear no fear shirts. but no Big Johnson shirts.
No.
Here's a weird one, is that you can't bring a beach umbrella to the beach.
Yeah.
But you can bring a sun umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense.
What's the difference?
I don't know. But
I don't know either, but that's what it says.
No beach umbrellas, then no blankets either, by the way.
I think beach umbrellas are bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cover more area, and so they want to keep
it. Just
that
a personal thing.
Yeah.
But I will say this, although I cannot bring a purse unless I bring a clear tote, I can bring a sand wagon.
You can bring a sand wagon.
So I'm just going to put everything I need in the sand wagon.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's
all right.
A fit that's on the list of officially
just
accepted
fill it
things.
With Ziploc bags. You won't be weirded at all. No,
fine.
People will love it.
Kevin, very disappointing for you. No drones or any other unmanned aircraft of any kind.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they said.
Jensen, very sad for you. No kites.
I know. That was what I was going for.
Yeah, kites are fun.
I wanted to have a whole kite tournament.
No marker pens or spray paint?
Oh,
no. Spray paint?
That's what I do.
What kind of concert is this?
How am I going to write Limp Bizkit rules everywhere?
That is what you're about. Also, and I think this is directed just to Kevin, again, we're talking about things you can't bring to the Weenie Roast tomorrow. No water guns or water balloons.
It's what?
That's what you do. That's how you spend the time between the acts,
that's
right?
That's my life.
No fireworks, Kevin, I'm sorry to say.
All right. There are
no
ways.
Glow sticks.
There are
no
ways.
Bicycles.
No glow sticks. I'm going to be on Molly.
No rollerblades. No scooters. No hoverboards. No Segway.
By the way, doesn't
I want
say,
to be the guy at a concert who shows up with a Segway.
I do too.
By the way, it doesn't say even one word about no pogo sticks.
That's
You're
true.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
I say that's how all of us get around Weenie Roses. We all get a pogo stick.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
And we go crazy.
You know what I'm disgusted by on this list?
What?
No air horns.
Oh.
Kevin, that's another thing.
Is this really coming out for you?
Is this list made for me?
It's pretty much Kevin's
no
list.
No megaphones? No
what?
PA systems? Let me see. No amplified sound devices?
Here says, no ironic hatred for Limp Bizkit. Says it right here.
No
go.
Selfie sticks, by the way. Do they not
thank
know
God.
This is California?
No, but
I
thank
think
God.
I think that's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think this is even listed on here, but if you're bringing an iPad to shoot video, don't
no,
do that.
Don't do that.
Because there's people behind
it,
you and stop it.
That's ethics.
Right. It's not officially on the list, but we will beat you up.
How do we feel about tank tops, you guys, while we're just making our own rules now?
It's summer.
It's the beach.
I'm fine with it because of theme.
Mm-hmm. It depends who you are.
I'm fine. I'm also fine with basketball jerseys. It's a festival thing. You see it a lot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
I do like that they say no man buns.
That is cool.
Which I appreciate. Okay, it doesn't say that,
it
but I'm
say
saying that.
You're saying no man buns.
It says strollers allowed, but then on the next page, no babies. So I guess you just bring a stroller with nothing in it?
No, that's where you put your stuff, in the plastic bag. Okay.
And finally, and I don't. You tell me how they're going to police this at the beach. No bad vibes, no bad attitudes.
And that, by the way, is actually on the list.
It is on the
list.
We
made up a lot of things, but that is on the list. So if you're coming and you're going to be a real crab,
you're out.
Yeah.
I mean, if a guy shows up and he's just got that you know, that face that looks like he just swallowed a lemon or something, people are going to be like, oh, sorry, bad vibes.
Sorry, that's Wes Borland. He's performing
he's
later.
We need him.
106.7, K-Rock.
Mid-chew.
It's KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hall of Fame, man. Come on.
Happy breakfast, everybody.
Standards.
You say happy breakfast?
Happy breakfast, everybody.
That's not even a thing you say.
Maybe
it needs to be.
Our Friday look at music we're listening to in our off times. Ally McKay's That's My Jam coming up in about 15 minutes. And then the great Dan Aykroyd joins us in studio. Saturday Night Live legend, creator of Ghostbusters, will be here in studio just after 8. Yesterday on the program, we brought you the story of a woman in Britain who could not have been more surprised. She had a little bit of an upset tummy. Next thing you know, she's doubled over in pain. Right after that, she's giving birth to a healthy baby girl that she had no idea was inside of her for a full 9 months. And by the way, this was a 7-pound, 2-ounce baby, I want to remind you, that she didn't know was inside of her.
And we said again, like we do after every single one of these stories, how is that possible?
How is it possible?
I'm in the midst of a pregnancy. We're at 8 months, and every single waking moment of our lives involves this pregnancy.
Correct.
I can't imagine not thinking about it.
Well, enter Megan, who tweeted at us yesterday, at Kevin and Bean, regarding not knowing you're pregnant. I'm a 34-year-old woman, and I'm smart. I didn't know I was pregnant my entire pregnancy. I had my daughter at my house by myself, and I did not know I was in labor until she came out. It was the best surprise of my life. And she included some photos of her adorable little daughter. Very cute. Megan joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Megan.
Hi.
Are you smart?
I'm not dumb.
So, I know you've told this story 1,000 times with friends and strangers alike. Why don't you just run down the synopsis of all the reasons we would have thought you would have known you were pregnant and why it never occurred to you?
I've been asked many, many questions that, you know, common sense. How does someone not know that there's a living thing inside of you?
That's our question, right?
I went through it and I still can't quite explain it, but if you really don't think you're pregnant, you really don't think you're pregnant. And I was dating someone for almost 9 years. We just broke up. There was a one-time thing afterwards. Mm-hmm. And along that year, I just started gaining a bunch of weight. And I thought, I need to go on a diet. Like, there's something going on.
So it was general weight on your whole body, not just in your stomach.
Yeah. And right? I'm not a small person.
Right.
I did have a little bit of a tummy, but it wasn't like, you know, noticeably.
It wasn't out of proportion.
Hey,
yeah, no, I'm seeing a picture of you, Megan. I don't want people to think you're like Gilbert Grape's mom. Like, you are of normal size. You're Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I saw my stomach move. I thought it was my stomach muscles spasming. I didn't even think about having a baby moving around in there.
Does that happen to your stomach muscle spasm often?
No.
And you never...
Stop trying to poke holes in this.
I go back to my first question.
And you never saw it?
Doctor?
Yeah.
What?
You never saw like a little fist, like a little, like a movement in your belly or anything?
No, not really. I didn't feel her like swimming around or anything. Like, I've heard stories of like elbows being jabbed.
Yeah.
Jabbed mom in her ribs or,
well, here's,
you know, I didn't get any of that.
Here's what I will say, Megan, is that you're right when you say, if you don't think you're pregnant, none of these things add up to being pregnant because you know you're not.
Right.
So
there was no way in my mind that could be the case. So there's obviously some other thing going on here.
Mm-hmm. Lady question, Megan.
Yeah.
Your Aunt Flo, was she visiting?
Yes. No, and I was your regular before, and I wasn't dating anyone, so I just didn't worry about it because I felt fine, and I knew it wasn't, you know, every single month normally. So I was just like, it'll fix itself.
And you're okay. How much advance notice did you have before your precious baby girl came out?
How much what notice?
Advance notice. When did you realize that you were pregnant?
When she popped out. When
what
I thought, okay, so I went to work that day. My boss, after I had to call my bosses on Saturday, because she was born on a Saturday, and tell them why I wasn't coming to
work on.
Did they fire you for stupidity?
No, she's the sixth baby, the fifth girl born in a span of 3 months at my office. They all have kids.
Yeah, but they knew it was coming.
I know. And I watched them go through all the stuff while I was pregnant, and I had no idea.
Wow. Listen, I'm a boss and my employee, Megan, calls me on Saturday and goes, listen, I won't be in for a while. I just had a baby that I didn't know about. I'd be like, Megan, we got to work on your excuses.
You wouldn't buy it for a second.
My boss, Scott, the first thing he said was, I knew it. But you don't want to say, hey.
You're the only person who didn't know it.
The baby was in your stomach.
Yes, I was. Like, my stepmom was telling my dad, hey, are you going to talk to her about her pregnancy? And my dad was like, no, she's not pregnant.
Oh, my gosh. Megan, seriously, what about labor? I mean, most women, even if it's an easy birth, they're in labor for a few hours.
It was all day on Friday, I guess, because I didn't feel well, but I went into work. I was like, it'll pass. And then at midnight, and then that Friday on the 18th, I woke up. I couldn't go to sleep. Mm. And I just thought it was like intense cramps. And I was like, oh, I'll get through it. It'll be okay. I'll push it.
I like your attitude of it'll be okay.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll work out.
And Megan, I'm gonna use the doctor's term here so that we're really scientific. And please answer honestly. Is it a toilet baby?
It is a toilet baby. She did fall in the toilet. She didn't hit her head. Took her out within 2 seconds.
Oh my gosh! Wow. I didn't need
wrapped to
wrap
her up in a towel. The picture that I sent is me sitting on the toilet.
Megan, with her wrapped in the little towel.
Yes, I put her in the towel wrapped her. Okay, I thought she was a hernia.
She's a hernia.
I can't believe you named her hernia.
That was actually a joke. My family makes jokes. They think this is.
They should think this is funny.
That's unbelievable. This is real, you guys. This happened to one of our listeners, Megan.
100%, and I'm 100% true. And she is the most amazing little baby. She's so easy.
We're not doubting her,
Megan. I'm more concerned about you than I am the baby.
I feel extremely lucky in my circumstances. The job I have has been so accommodating.
Right. We're not concerned about your job.
You had the easiest pregnancy that a woman has ever had.
Probably. And, you know, honestly, without having all the doctors around and everyone stressing me out and all the anticipation of thinking all the things that could go wrong and stuff, I think that might have made it a little easier.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have to worry about all that stuff.
And you avoided all that pesky prenatal care.
That could be so annoying.
And you got drunk so much.
Plus, I drank a lot and I smoked.
Yeah.
I did the entire pregnancy.
Listen to me. This is important moving forward. Always leave that part out of this story.
Well, it makes it more amazing because of how healthy she is. Like, there could have been a billion things that could have gone wrong.
Listen, Megan, I don't want to scare you at all, but my mom drank a lot of Southern Comfort before she knew 8 months in that she was pregnant with me.
That answers a lot.
Back in the 50s or whatever.
I was born in the 50s, Megan. How dare you? Listen, I loved you.
I'm in general.
Okay. All right. So here's my question, is that now that Megan has told us her story, do we understand at all how this can happen?
Yes,
her story is very believable. It's such a typical woman move to be like, oh, it's just bad cramps, they'll go away.
Yeah.
Because bad cramps are awful.
Right.
And you think they're going to go away. I get it completely.
Especially if, as she said, she didn't have any reason doing the math to suspect she was pregnant because it was a one-time thing that she kind of forgot about. Mm. And
if anyone not gets like, not doing math.
It's not like she was in a relationship where it was a possibility all the time.
And right. I'm assuming, that, like we heard yesterday in the story, the baby was placed closer to the back. Like, there's a bunch of things that go on that make not like an extended belly that way. Like, there's a lot of things that could happen. So,
Megan,
I can't explain it.
But Megan is a total moron. So.
No, Megan is a treasure.
Megan is awesome.
Look, Megan is awesome and a total moron at the same time.
Exactly.
And we very much appreciate you reaching out and coming on and telling your story, Megan. Best to your little girl,
She rules. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I love you.
So, Dan Aykroyd is here.
Dr. Raymond Stantz, you mean?
Correct.
Yeah, from Ghostbusters. Got a very cool event that is coming up to celebrate the 35th anniversary of that great movie. He'll be joining us just after the top of the hour. First, though, one of our favorite segments of the whole week. Allie, take it away.
Yeah, during this time of what's happening, we highlight our That's My Jam playlist. You can find it at Kevin and Bean on all of our social medias. We're going to link it right to you. We each pick a song that maybe we haven't heard in a while, an older song, or something brand new that we want people to enjoy as much as we do. Let's start off first with Kevin's pick.
Fits in the Tantrums is a band that I love, and I think they're great. They have a great energy. They're good live, and they've been touring around Europe, and I've been following their Instagram, and they put out a new song May 3rd, this past May 3rd, and they released a single called I Need Help, and it's basically, why do I try to take on life all the time? Because occasionally, I need help.
Sometimes I just need a little help. Why do I try to take the world on by myself? I'm asking you please a little help. Tell me you'll be there when I need somebody else. I need help. I need help.
That's the happiest song about I need help ever.
Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you that Fits in the Tantrums has never made a song that is less than excellent.
Yeah. I think so, too.
And they're always amazing. Super catchy, for sure.
Yep. Yeah.
Bean, you're up next.
There is a, I wish I knew what the name of it is, but there is a micro trend in music right now where young people are emulating the sounds and styles of soft rock from the 70s and 80s. It's almost like a yacht rock thing, if you guys know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a 19-year-old kid who calls himself Los Retros. He's a Southern California based. He's from Oxnard. And that is his sound. And it's very different from what you normally hear on the radio, K-Rock or other stations. But I love it. He's just got a few songs out so far. Again, he's only 19, so you wouldn't expect this kind of music from the kid. The song is called Someone to Spend Time With.
I've waited too long, waiting for the lucky one. My sweetheart, where are you? I need someone to spend time with, to give and share all my love.
First of all, that's great.
That is great.
It's second of all, retro, isn't it?
Yeah.
Second of all, he's 19.
Yes.
He's waited too long, you guys.
That's off of Stone's Throw, right?
That's what it sounds like, right?
No, Stone's Throw Records.
The record label, yes.
Yeah, amazing artists. Some of my favorite people
come
off that.
Mayor Hawthorne is originally.
Yeah, off that label. Amazing.
So anyway, it's called Los Retros, and it's understandable why he chose that name. But I'm glad you guys like that.
Yeah.
Dig it. All right, Jensen, you're up.
I haven't been picking rap lately because nothing has really grabbed my attention until the new album Escape from New York from the supergroup Beast Coast. That group consists of Flatbush Zombies, Joey Badass, Kirk Knight, CJ Fly, Mick Caution, Powers Pleasant, and The Underachievers. It is a large group, Wu-Tang style.
Wow.
The album is awesome. This song is called Left Hand.
Everybody's saying I'm a dead man. This right here is a confession. I never show love with my left hand. Never really been no cuff cast, man. I think LSD be my best friend. What's getting big, who's the other kid's turn? Really am the leader, I'll throw my weapon. If you hating, clap from a distance. My go around heads like a headman. Dog that man. Which one of y'all wanna blow down? Smoke big blood size on my kid. It's a fireman, light up head, diamond shine, light up head, put on my.
Song is 25 minutes long, though, to fit in all the rappers.
Yeah, they're great rap songs. If you enjoy sort of the boom bap era, you will like them.
All right. And finally, for me, a lot of times we pick the new stuff that you know about, but mine is from a band called INXS. You might have heard of them.
What?
But the reason I picked this is because this week, the first official trailer for Mystify came out. It's an upcoming documentary about the life and death of INXS frontman Michael Hutchence, who was my first ever crush in music, besides Martin Gore, but that's a whole other situation, Depeche Mode fans. But it was my first big girl concert that my mom dropped us off at the Forum.
Oh, wow.
And was like, you guys are able to go in and watch this band by yourself. And it was during the Kick tour, and Steel Pulse opened up, and it's the first time I ever smelled weed. Things were great at that show, is all I'm saying. But it's an old song. It's off of their fourth album, The Swing, and it's one of my top five INXS songs of all time. It is Burn For You.
Minding my own business when you came along.
Pizza. It's real good.
They're a great band. They're a great band.
I will tell you, the trailer looks phenomenal. It goes through his whole life. And I mean,
What's the name of it, the movie?
Mystified. It comes out 4th of July in Australia, and we should get it soon after that. So excellent stuff. But again, you can find all of those songs, and every single member of the Kevin and Bean Show adds a song every week at Kevin and Bean. It's our That's My Jam playlist. Enjoy that. I don't even want to do birthdays. I want to get to Dan Aykroyd.
I'm Dan Aykroyd. I'm a soul man. Listen, hotshot, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't care for you or for the putrid sludge you're troweling out, but until they change the laws to put you sleaze kings out of business, my job's to help you get back your stench-ridden boxes of smut. And since I'm going to be doing it holding my nose, I'll be doing it with one hand.
Oh, hey there, folks. Pick yourself up a couple of dolls.
Ah, the morning consumption of mass quantities. Grid-like breakfast slabs, extruded mammal tailings, seared strips of swine flesh, and flattened chicken embryos. I will enjoy it.
Hard to think of the most harmless thing. Something I loved from my childhood. Something that could never, ever possibly destroy us. Mr. Stay Puft.
Nice thinking, Ray.
Nenge! Nenge Yomboko! From Cameroon! Do you remember me? It's Lionel Joseph.
Lionel!
Meanwhile, if I can grab your share of the market, put a little coin in my pocket by being the asshole, well, what the hell, know what I mean?
Boy, you sure are different in your TV commercials.
Mr. Mayor, we're here tonight because a psychomagnetheric slime flow of immense proportions is building up beneath this city.
Gentlemen, I have a very simple philosophy. What you shove up your ass is your own business.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the greatest day in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show. Actor, writer, comedian, musician, genius, the great Dan Aykroyd has joined us on K-Rock. Dan.
Some of that stuff works, doesn't it?
Right? It still holds up, my friend.
I didn't do it alone. I had great collaborators. Oh, man.
Still holds up.
But you deliver it amazingly. Those lines, some of them, I couldn't say if I practiced them 50 times.
Well, the Jack Webb stuff, you know, he was a great writer. And he loved L.A., of course, you know. And that was a definitive L.A. movie, you know, in a way.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so I just took the cue. I went to Universal. I sat there and I watched 50 dragnets, you know, over a week's period, and then went and kind of imitated not only the voice in that, but I imitated his writing style, the way he just put words together. He was great. Him and R.I. Senator, they were great, great creators.
Can you still get Tom Hanks on the phone if you need to?
You know, Tom told me that when my name comes up on his speed dial on the you know, on the display on his desk, that he will always answer it.
There you go.
All right. There you go. That's nice. But,
have you tested that?
Yeah, I've called him a couple of times.
Dan, we almost don't know where to start with you because we've all been fans our entire lives. But I guess we might as well start with Ghostbusters because you're in town for the Fan Fest celebrating the 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters. What is going to be going on down there?
Well, yeah, it's in conjunction with the Wizard World Company. They throw these great conventions all over the world with, you know, characters and you know, basically celebrating movies and the characters in movies and the well-knowns of the Marvels and you know, the Supermans of the world, DC Comics. So we're getting to be well-known after 35 years. on the 7th and 8th at the Sony Pictures Studio lot in Culver City. The main event will be Saturday, but things going on 7th and 8th, we're going to have a fan fest for all Ghostbusters fans who want to come and share in the costume contests. Ray Parker Jr. is going to be there. He's a wicked guitarist, by the way, besides that song that he wrote.
Bean, of all people, he speaks the gospel of Ray Parker.
Oh, no, he's a great arranger, worships. And he's really a strong player, and his sons play with him.
Well, he was a child prodigy. I mean, the guy was playing, as I often tell the guys, he was playing with the role Rolling Stones at age 17.
No, he's a serious musician. Yeah. And then costume contest, photo ops, panels. We've got Jason Reitman, who's directing the new movie. Ivan will be there. Paul Feig, who directed the spectacular ladies movie. Boy, were they great. And I enjoyed that picture so greatly. And Dave Coulier, plus about 20 other franchise cast and crew. So, all that's happening. Tickets are $150. I got to say that. We got to pay, you know, because we got to clean up the lot afterwards. But 7th and 8th, Sony Pictures Studio lot, main event Saturday, and I'll be around. You'll see me, you know, and please don't be afraid, Ghostbusters fans, to come up, whirl me around, and take a selfie. That's why I'm there.
That's very nice of you to say.
You know what's wonderful about it is also we're working with Stand Up to Cancer and the Omaze Group, and they raise money for these research teams all around the country that produce all of the knowledge that we're going to need to defeat this, hopefully,
in
my lifetime.
Their options are amazing.
Yeah, yeah, and Ernie and I are going to be doing an Omaze experience. Omaze is a kind of a web-based charity drive that
You buy raffle tickets.
That's right.
And then what can I win?
What you would win meeting me?
Huge.
Well, we've already met you. Why should we even?
But he said Ernie was
you
mean
Ernie? Yeah, Ernie. Ernie. Yeah.
That's a big Twinkie.
Yeah, the Omaze experience will have Ernie and I playing a game with them, and we're going to just hang out with the winner and treat us. So Stand Up to Cancer is really a great tie-in here.
It's
and,
you know, so wonderful.
Everywhere we go, we're not here just to make money and exploit brands. You got to make the world better.
You really do.
And so that is today and tomorrow, by the way.
Yes,
today and tomorrow.
So,
Ghostbusters.com. I know there's a lot of information flying out here, but Ghostbusters.com is where you can go to get your tickets, get all the information.
Yeah, and you come in and the money, part of the money, the proceeds, Wizard World will be donating to Stand Up for Cancer.
Love
directly.
It.
So.
That's great.
Amazing. Really,
Dan,
cool.
We believe, and this is a consensus in the show, that Ghostbusters is in the top five comedy movies ever made. Do you concur?
Yeah.
What's he going to say? No?
What if he did?
I mean, what are the other four? I mean, Mad World.
Great movie.
We would put
Animal House.
Animal House.
Stripes.
Anything with Bill Murray in it.
Caddyshack. Your people, your era was
Ramis,
the greatest comedy ever made.
The common denominator, of course, Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
In Animal House and Ghostbusters.
Now, I understand. Tell me if this is true or if this is just some legend that has been created around you and the creating of Ghostbusters, is that you are a believer. As was your father, as was your grandfather.
And great-grandfather. It all started with Sam, the dentist there in Kingston. He was like the reviewer in town. If, you know, when a psychic act would come to town, this guy levitates. Oh, this guy's a great medium. Oh, this guy's trance-channeling. Oh, this is a precipitated painter. They're interesting because they sit there with the canvas about 4 feet away, and they wiggle their fingers in front of 400 or 500 people, and there's paint produced from there, from nothing, basically. And so he was the guy that would say, nah, that was a hoax. Nah, there's a trick there. Oh, that's the real thing. So we kept journals in trunks, and we got his journals from the 1920s. And we had seances in the old farmhouse. We had a family medium named Walter Ashurst, who was a mechanic.
I wish I was in your family.
Same. You know, same. So my dad wrote a book, History of Ghosts. You can get it on Amazon, Rodale Press. I think we're trying to get it digitally re-released. But if you look at kind of my great-grandfather's work, and he'd be very happy now at the exposure of this.
Mm-hmm.
Before our movie came out, no one knew what ectoplasm was, really. Outside,
I was just going to ask, is all of Ghostbusters real then? Is that how you wrote it?
Well,
is
certainly
it a documentary, Mr. Ackerman?
I would say so. Certainly that we took the research of the American Society for Psychical Research, and we use that, and nobody knew what ectoplasm was.
Right.
I mean, millions of people now know what it is.
Sure.
And now you have these terrific shows like Travel and Entertainment Channel. I love their stuff.
Love. Mm-hmm.
The hospitals and the prisons and the places they go. You know, there's ghost hunting societies in every county in the United States.
Are you in one of them?
I'm not, but I know that Ghostbusters helped originate and inspire these people to go and look into this stuff. And
have
now we have all kinds of people.
Have you seen a ghost for reals?
I never have. I always thought that one got into bed with me when I lived up on Woodrow Wilson here in Los Angeles. And by the way, it's nice to be back in Southern California after the winter.
Let's go back to the
ghost.
Well, you know, that house was owned by Mama Cass. And it was also a rock and roll house. And people used to come up from the strip, and people would walk up and in bare feet in hippie time. And nobody knew who was coming or going. And a guy, so Mama Cass, she died in London, though. But ghosts travel.
Sure.
They don't need a ticket.
That house has seen
and so,
some stuff.
So a one-night friend of mine, he was a boxing champion for the U.S. Army, he said he saw a big black shape walk across the stairs. And there was another guy that died in the house. He overdosed, and they buried him in the hillside. And the current owner of that house should know that in the hillside, there's some bones there.
Oh.
And that ghost,
that seems important.
My daughter saw him and he had a little red-haired kid with him when she saw him. But one night I went home, and Donna and I, we had an experience where the jewelry on the desk started to do a little tornado whirl. And once when I was alone in the house, I lay down and I felt something depress against me, you know, like depress the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, you know, what can I do about it? Nothing. Right. So I just kind of wiggled up against...
What do you mean, what can I do? Don't you want to turn and look?
Well, no, of course. I was terrified.
Yeah, okay.
And what can... And so I just kind of wiggled up against it and just went to sleep.
Oh, man.
And it turned out to be a hippie.
Maybe it was a Richard. Maybe the... We used to call him Richard, the one that was buried. Maybe he was a same-gender preference man. I don't know.
One of my biggest dreams, not only to hug a bear, and if it killed me, that's fine, but another huge dream of mine is to have sex with a ghost.
There's a great scene in the extended...
Yes, yeah. But that's extended my scene, dream.
In the extended
that's my
version.
Dream. Yeah. You did my dream in that movie.
I know. She comes down and she undoes the belt.
Yes.
And, yeah.
That's become a bit of like a cult scene. People love... That's
she was
like,
a real woman. Her name was Kimberly Heron, yeah. And she lived up in Santa Barbara there.
So we have so many more Ghostbusters questions for the creator of Ghostbusters, Dan Aykroyd, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Ghostbusters Fan Fest is happening today and tomorrow. You can get all the details and all the fun stuff, including the Omaze auction, at Sony. Ghostbusters.com.
Culver City.
That's right. Sony Pictures Law. Yeah. Dan, stick around. We're going to come right back after a very quick break and pick your brain on some more stuff, okay?
Anything you want, man. Thank you.
Let's do it. Right? Dan Aykroyd, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking Ghostbusters, also talking Blues Brothers.
We would like to dedicate this song to a recently turbulent chunk of real estate at the end of Highway 41, just south of the Alligator Alley in the Florida Peninsula. And to a certain distinguished resident there, you may know him, Mr. Wayne Cochran. My brother Jake will sing about that town. Going back to Miami.
Going back to Miami.
Holds up, Dan.
No, it sure does.
I mean, the blues are forever. Let's face it.
Love it.
How about Schaefer on that B3?
Yep.
John's
incredible.
Vocals are great. Steve Jordan, 19 years old, the drummer. Amazing. Al Rubin, Tom Malone. Lou Marini. Otis Redding's guitar players, Duck Dunn and Steve
You don't
Trumper.
Forget a person.
No.
Yeah,
well, he put
impressive.
Together one of the greatest bands of all time for the
Blues
Brothers.
It was. And that first record sold 4.5 million copies. You know, Rihanna would be happy with sales.
Yeah.
Like that.
Anyone would. Yeah.
I saw you guys in 78 at the Meriwether Post Pavilion in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the best concerts I ever saw at the
Wasn't
time.
That, yeah,
it was
know,
incredible.
What a great tour that was.
Is it true that there's a Blues Brothers TV series on the horizon, Dan?
Well, I feel like that's always true. We have a little, we have an idea. We worked with Bento Box to work up some animated figures. You know, possibly. I think it's just, you know, the best thing to do is just get on the electronic services and buy the music. That's the way you're going to get it today.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah,
it
makes sense.
Quick question. This is an aside, but I just have to ask only because you're coming into the Kevin and Bean Show on the day after we lost the great Dr. John. He was in Blues Brothers 2000 with
that.
He passed away yesterday at 77.
Where? In New Orleans?
New Orleans, yeah.
Oh,
You had him in that Blues Brothers 2000 with that amazing band with Billy Preston and Isaac Hayes and all that.
Season of the Witch he did for us.
Quick thoughts on the great Dr. John, who I would encourage our listeners to go back and pick up his music if they've not heard it.
Oh, man. What a generous, wonderful, music-loving soul. I remember John and I were orphaned out here at one Christmas and we couldn't go back to our families, and he invited us over for Christmas dinner and an incredible jam. And, that's too bad. I'm sorry.
Hey,
he did Season of the Witch for us on the Blues Brothers 2000 record, which was, you know, that movie was a favorable companion to the first one, and I lost all the weight, you can see. But that record's very hot. And
that's so sweet that you have those memories of Dr. John.
Oh, yeah, no, he was wonderful. I used to hang with him in New Orleans all the time. Right place, wrong time. I hope
that's right.
Play that today.
I just want Dan to schedule all the music for the show. Another couple of quick Ghostbusters questions, and then we have a presentation for you. Our friend Jensen has brought a gift for you. But I want to, and I know you have a gift for us as well.
Okay.
I wanted to ask, the legend around Ghostbusters, is it's a miracle it got made. It was super, super expensive, right? And you guys had to write and film it and edit it and do all those special effects in something like 10 months. I mean, it was unbelievable how fast this thing came together, right?
Well, the Columbia, Frank Price, and the people at Columbia were excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they greenlit it. And we had Mike Ovitz as an agent, of course, the great founder of CAA, mm-hmm. one of the greatest agents since Lou Wasserman in the business. And he got it railroaded right through. And Ivan was there. Billy was hot at that time. You know, Ivan and we were at the peak of our or just starting to ascend to the peak of our career. So, and the script was appealing. Once Harold and Ivan and I wrestled it into a shooting shape, it really was. The studio could see how this could work. The guy who didn't like it was Carlos Gozueta, who was the chairman of Coca-Cola Enterprises at the time, and that Coca-Cola owned the studio, and he saw the movie. You know, we got it made. It wasn't that expensive, around 30. That's what pictures were being made for then. And
but for a bunch of unknown TV actors, though, essentially, right?
Well, Billy had Stripes at that point.
Okay,
and,
all right, gotcha.
You know, and we had stuff in our reputation before that helped us get it going.
He just
we'd done 1941, John and I, and we'd done Blues Brothers, of course, and, you know... But he didn't like it. The chairman of Coke, he walked out and said, "This is going to be." And then when the Coca-Cola stock started to blip up with the 13-week run we had at the top of the box office, he said, "I like this movie."
Now I love it. When people come up to you, everybody has their favorite quote from Ghostbusters. What do you hear the most? Is there one that you can point out and just go, "Everyone says that to me"?
Let me see. It just popped in there, I guess, is the, you know, I get the Blues Brothers. It's 106 miles to Chicago.
Sure.
We got a half it with full tank of gas, a half a pack of, you know.
Is that a satisfying thing to have written something a while back and still have people?
You know what? I had a very nice evening the other day in Los Angeles, about a month ago. I was back here and Quentin Tarantino said, "Hey, we're showing the Blues Brothers at my theater. Would you like to come?"
All right.
And so Quentin and I sat there
at the New Beverly.
Yeah.
And
and I watched the movie for the first time since it came out with an audience of 500 people.
That's so
all
cool.
The laughs work. John's performance was amazing. And the Elwood character, there's barely a glimpse of me there. That's a buttoned-up performance, I must say. And the whole thing really, really worked. It just worked today. It was so wonderful, all the music. And boy, it really worked. I was kind of, yeah.
You should be. You should be proud of it.
That makes sense that 500 people would go see that movie because that's, I mean, everyone loves it. Okay. I, on the other hand, find one of my favorite movies of all time is Nothing But Trouble.
You're young, Jensen.
I'm so obsessed with it.
You're young.
When I lost my dad, not to make it sad, I didn't necessarily know what to do. You're in that weird position where you're like, what am I going to do? I opened up that movie and watched it for the first time since I was a kid. And at that time, it was like an old-fashioned, it's like a mashed potato dinner. It's like comfortable.
Like a comfort blanket.
And it is such a great, fun movie. It's the only thing you ever directed, correct?
It is. And I guess what happened there was it's a very serviceable comedy. And everybody was terrific in it. John Candy. And, you know, it was a fun world. But we came out against Silence of the Lambs that weekend.
Ooh.
And
then
another big female picture, Julia Roberts in Sleeping with the Enemy. And Desert Shield started.
Wow.
So, the movie really didn't have a chance.
I'm making you sign a DVD of it for me. But beyond
that, I like that picture. I do.
You should. Here, I got. This is a pin of Judge Valdizer.
I'd like to go to Warner Brothers actually and say, hey, we should do you know, a podcast kind of weekly series with the judge. You know,
please remember me and everything that I do for a living. If I ever received an ability to,
those are hairs. Yeah, Dutch Herefords. You know, judge you. You come through my jurisdiction, I'll tell you right now, you get a speeding ticket, you get off. You're going to get off. We're going to party down, boy. I'll tell you right now.
And you hate bankers. And you hate bankers.
Oh, you betcha. You betcha. I'll introduce you to my daughter, Eldona. Maybe get all hooked up and married up.
All right. Can die now.
Dan, we know that you're on a schedule, so I would like to point out that you brought us a gift as well.
Oh, yes. You know, we were talking, Ali, you were saying you like vodka with additives, right? Yeah. You like to add things in there. Everybody does. Everybody.
Crystal Light every now and
then. Yeah, sure. Or orange juice. Or, you know, we won a medal in Moscow for the Crystal Head vodka. Here it is.
I'm sorry. You said you won a medal.
Said Moscow.
Yeah. The Russians voted this excellent taste out of 400 beverages. The thing with Crystal Head makes it different from all other vodkas. No terpenes, no sugar, no additives. You're adding tomato juice, Clamato, you're adding Saint Germain, you're adding Crystal Light, you're adding orange juice. You don't need anything. So, you know, we start with a vodka.
Clean.
That's clean, and bartenders love it because it's the base for great cocktails. BevMo has it. Total Wines has it. Wine Warehouse has it.
And the best bottle
And Mastro's at the beach, they have like them all lined up, and they make a salted caramel martini there at Mastro's down in Malibu. Wow. really great. So here, this is for the crew.
Thank you.
I recommend on ice with a little lime, or definitely in cocktails. Crystal Head, 70 countries, made in Canada. In Newfoundland, we start with that Newfoundland water that's never been touched by the eerie plume of pollution.
Is there nothing this man can't do or sell?
It's Dan Aykroyd, guys.
The best.
Ghostbusters Fan Fest, today and tomorrow, celebrating the 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters. Tickets available and all the details at Ghostbusters.com. Get on down there, get your tickets, and meet and get your selfie with Dan Aykroyd himself. Also, the great Ernie Hudson, who we've had on this show a couple of times before, too, will be there as well.
Yeah, Ivan's going to be there.
Ivan Reitman, yep. Jason
Ray Parker.
Reitman, maybe Ray Parker. Maybe Bill Atherton. He said he might drop by. You know,
right. Dan, come by anytime when you're in town.
As all of us.
What do I do now?
On the Kevin and Bean Show. Would you say that we embarrassed ourselves?
It depends. Was me crying in front of him a problem?
No, because he had directed that movie, and I think that was great.
Okay, so what else? Where else are we looking at?
Omar, who's never asked for a picture before in his life,
said,
"I have to get a picture with Dan Aykroyd."
Yesterday,
out in the hallway,
was like, "I need to just ask you guys, is it cool?" And I was like, "Holy crap! All right."
Beer mug was peering through through the blinds.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even hand check him, but we should have.
He was biting his nails like it was corn on the cob. Like, back and forth. Like, crazy.
But here's what I'll say about the great Dan Aykroyd. This is the reaction he gets everywhere he goes.
I know. What must that, like, be like?
And welcomes it. And encourages
it. He's happy about it.
Yeah. I think that is just a delight.
And he brought us booze.
He brought us alcohol.
The perfect guest, you guys.
Correct.
The perfect guest. Ghostbusters.com if you want to meet Mr. Aykroyd at the event this week, today and tomorrow.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Remember the Dan Aykroyd times?
Oh, the best of times.
Mm-hmm. Those were the best times ever.
Pretty sweet.
Are you crying?
Tearing up a little bit. But we press on, because not only do we have more tickets you can win for tomorrow's sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau and Beach Party coming up in about 5 minutes, we are also going to invite you to pick any song you want. Any K-Rock song that we have, we'll play it for you if you are Texture 100. We call it Keep It 100, and I got to tell you, you guys make some great choices. Check it out. That's the last 10 weeks or so of choices for the Friday Keep It 100 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now it is your turn. If you're a Texter 100 at 1-800-520-1067. If we have it, we'll play it coming up after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Friday.
Friday. First of all, rumors have been spreading about this for a long time. And then they really ramped up after the Oscars when Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga did their performance of Shallow. And people were like, oh, look at that attraction between those two actors.
But you can't
on
fake
the stage.
That.
You can't fake it. And then the rumors really ramped up this week, too, that there was trouble in the relationship with Bradley Cooper and Irina Shayk. Well, according to People magazine, they have ended their relationship after 4 years. The reps, no, yay.
You the kids don't are
root,
very happy.
You don't root for people to break up, and especially when they have a daughter. They have a little girl, so that's apparently what...
Don't make it important now. We were just having fun for a second.
Yeah.
Well, but kids shouldn't cheer.
Okay.
We
I
can cheer.
I think he's a pussy.
What?
Jesus.
Sir, good Lord.
Seems extreme.
I think the kids want Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga to be together, maybe.
They ship it.
Because they... Yes, that's the kids are shipping it, because they have all that chemistry.
Because they're Bradley Cooper and Gaga stands.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. I'm up.
Yeah.
If I choose to hold your purse while you go into the dressing room and change clothes, I'm a pussy. It's a choice, and I have a right to choose it, but I'm a pussy.
It's an odd interjection there, sir, but thank you for adding
that.
Input,
I think you're just throwing the P word around.
Wow. Loves to throw the P. Interesting. And a reminder, if you had no idea, the Mega Millions... The drawing is tonight, you guys. The jackpot, a paltry $530 million is up for grabs.
That's it?
Yeah. Cash option, about $344 million if you want to just kind of settle it up and be like, no, I'll take that all right now.
I got another reminder of what your odds are.
Right.
Last time when the drawing happened, and I had no match of any number in four different tickets.
Not a single one.
Not one match in any of them.
Hmm.
Wow. So you bought tickets again
for
tonight?
Okay. Absolutely.
I thought you might have. Excellent.
And two to double my chances. Back to you.
Again, we know that's not how it works. Please don't email us. Or do if you can explain it, because no one can. It is absolute insanity. You guys, some details have emerged about David Spade's new show for Comedy Central. It premieres July 29th. It's going to air Monday through Thursday after The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. It's called Lights Out with David Spade. It's going to feature signature take on pop culture and news of the day from David Spade. And he's going to include a rotating group of his favorite comedians and celebrity friends and do some sketches and field segments as well. I mean, I find David Spade extremely amusing.
He's so
I
funny.
Am going to agree with you.
I am excited to watch this.
Yeah.
So way to go, Comedy Central, July 29th.
He was a guest that we would commonly harass to be on Drop the Mic, and he never wanted to do it. So he would leave messages on the machine of our talent executive, Tracy, and he would go, hey, I'm not going to do this. This is terrible for me in my career, and what are you going to do? Have me come on and battle what? Urkel? Am I going to you gonna bring in... the girl from Small Wonder.
Oh, Vicky.
And I'm going to battle her. No, no, thank you. And he would do it. He would do it like once a month. He would just call in and talk about how he hates
it. So it wasn't enough that he wasn't going to do it. He wanted to rub it into you.
He wanted to call and tell us we're stupid.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's
and no one ever hears it, just us.
Wow.
He could easily just go, pass. No,
nope. Right.
Call it in.
No, he's like, got to do my bit about drop the mic again. Hand me the phone.
It's great.
Oh, God bless you, David Spade. We need to have him on.
Yeah
we do.
Talk about this new show. Absolutely. Chip has to be excited about this. Hulu is launching Canadian comedy Letterkenny on October 14th. Everybody knows it's the cult Canadian hit, but it's becoming an official Hulu original in its seventh season.
What? Huh? What?
It's been on for six seasons, but now that Hulu has the rights to it, it's becoming a Hulu original.
Okay.
In its seventh season. But Chip is a big fan. She loves those backwoods country hockey guys. No, in real life. So it's
in
cool
life,
to see
right.
him on TV, too. You love Letterkenny.
Letterkenny is so damn funny.
Okay.
It's having a moment.
It's having a moment, Chip.
I'm going to admit that I've never seen it and don't know what it is.
Oh, Chip's been talking about this for a while.
I don't listen to Chip.
And I know you don't. But on Hulu, all the previous six seasons are all there. Episodes are super short, 20 minutes. Each season, maybe six episodes.
There you go.
Get through it in like 2 weeks.
Sounds lazy.
Right in your wheelhouse, Jensen.
Six episodes, 20 minutes long.
I love it.
How about a little more work ethic?
Some birthdays for you guys. Bear Grylls, Michael Cera, Liam Neeson, Dave Navarro, Bill Hader, Iggy Azalea, and Mick Foley. Yeah. I was waiting for it. Yeah.
I just asked the guys, hey, do you guys remember when Limp Bizkit did that theme from Mission Impossible?
It's playing.
Yep, it's
literally
playing right
on
now.
The air that was, right now.
That's what was on the air. I couldn't hear it was turned down. Okay.
Kevin.
Look.
God damn it.
I'm doing the best I can.
Bizkit for Weenie, you guys. It's happening tomorrow.
Love it.
It's happening tomorrow. Congratulations to Chris Anderson from Glendora. He just won his Bud Light VIP party tickets to the K-Rock Wiener Rose Luau and Beach Party at Doheny State Beach tomorrow, and we will look forward to seeing him there. More tickets coming up. Hey, guys, it's time for Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100, bitch. I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100. I keep it 100.
100.
Keep it 100. A fascinating batch of songs this week that you requested. First of all, Robert and LaPrente, I'm so sorry you were number 99 texting this week for Not an Addict by K's Choice. Great song. Remember playing
Not
that
mad
a lot
at that.
Here. Sean was looking for Pony by the band Far from the 818, which I'm not mad at either. But as you know, every week there's only one Texter 100. And this time it's Carlos in El Segundo. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Good morning.
How's your life been going so far?
Up till now.
It's good, actually. I wanted to go to the Weenie Rose, but, you know, never got those tickets.
Well, we can't help you there, bud.
Yeah, sorry about that, but we can't help you with a song. How did you choose, out of the thousands of great K-Rock songs over the decades, how did you choose the one you came up with?
Yeah, I've been texting for, you know, since, I don't know, wow, months and months, and I've been changing my songs little by little, but for some reason, I was feeling this song, and basically, I just remember watching this video and hearing it way back, you know, growing up, middle school, high school, and it's, should I say it now?
Sure, go ahead and introduce it to K-Rock, yeah.
So basically, I think people will enjoy it if they remember it. It's Rock Me Amadeus by Falco.
Er hatte Flair, er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rock-Idol und alles rief, da kann man Rock Me Amadeus, du mit Und es war irgendwie nur Plastic Money anymore, die Banken gegen ihn. Woher die Schulden kamen, war wohl jeder Mann bekannt. Er war ein Mann der Frauen, Frauen liebten seinen Punk. Er war ein Superstar, er war so populär, er war zu exaltiert, genau das war sein Flair. Er war ein Virtuose, war ein Rocky-Doll und alle suchten noch auf der Captain Rock Me Up.
Right.
Song rules.
Carlos El Segundo, a big number one hit record requested by him for Keep It 100 here on the Kevin Devine Show on K-Rock. He was Austrian, and did you guys know that he was only 40 when he died in a traffic accident?
Did not know that.
Yeah,
you have
so
been bringing us right down this whole show, right?
Allie, I bet you have a pretty good beat on when, just like our caller, could place immediately that where he was when he started hearing Rock Me Amadeus on K-Rock. You tell me what year it was.
It was would definitely be the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely earlier to mid-80s.
Okay.
I didn't know. See, Bean didn't say yes.
You're casting kind of a wide net here.
I'm just going to say...
Somewhere between 81 and 89.
Let's just put it right in the middle and 85 it then.
Ladies and gentlemen, 1985.
Oh!
1985.
I knew that one. That's a good one.
Here's what happens, though, and I'm just going to tell you the behind the scenes. Allie looks it up every time.
Yeah.
Then she goes, oh, I don't know, mid-80s? Yes. I'm just going to go 85. And then you say it, and she goes, woo!
And that's why I am wrong 80% of the time.
You're wrong by a year every once in a while to throw us
off. But you're
off.
Always, oh, you're always right by your third pick.
Thank you. Thank you.
A number one song, by the way, from 1985. That is Rock Me Amadeus. And this has been Keep It 100. We'll do it again next week.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I hate to challenge ourselves, but it's been a pretty good Friday so far. We haven't gone off the rails yet at all, and we normally do. So let's not ruin it now, right?
No.
Everybody cool?
Bringing that up because we're going to play the wrap-up?
I'm going to play the wrap-up, but I'm just saying it's been a perfect
show. Well,
he's
really setting up the wrap-up to be crap.
Yeah. What's your point here, Kevin?
Is that it's been a pretty good show, so let's not ruin it. Which I just ruined by
saying. Feels like talking to my parents.
Saying it. We'll take that off the air. It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
Right? It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know I barely listen.
I know some people after work and most others are still asleep, so it's lucky that your boy Jensen wraps up every week. See, Slang Man Monday got the party
lit.
So catch me in the streets jumping on a pogo stick. And the sugar packets Allie uses in her coffee sick. Well, Bean is real obsessed with the dictionary flick. And Dr. Drew's still saying we're dying from a virus as quickly as Bean stands out at Billie Eilish. Eric Stone Street and Brian Henson kept it rolling. Dan Aykroyd signed a DVD that I will never open. I went to school with Dookie, Nick Hexum sang songs. James finally got some Jeopardy questions wrong. Clownfuss is probably our favorite new guest, but there's really only one reason that this week was the best. Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit agreed at last, and if you missed that, download the podcast.
Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean, Allie and Jensen and the whole damn team. Hey, party people, we're making a scene, talking about old Kevin and Bean.
That was Clownfuss, for God's sake.
Clownfuss, everybody. Amazing. Nice job, Jensen. Get the podcast at radio.com or wherever you get yours. We are almost out of here. Time for one more. What's happening? Here's Allie.
Guys, the Swamp Thing has to return to the swamp. DC Universe has canceled the show after a single season. And by a single season, only one episode has aired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Continues to fuel questions over what role the young DC Universe streaming platform will play in the larger plans of Warner Media, because the parent company will soon be launching their own streaming service in late 2019. So do they combine the two? What do they do? Are they going to finish out this whole season? I mean, are you going to release the rest of season one? I feel like you could have just kept them airing, because if you say it's canceled, why would people want to watch canceled. The rest of the season type of thing? You know what I'm saying? A lot of fans are really bothered by this because the show had a 92% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, really positive reviews by both critics and fans.
Do you think Swamp Thing got Me Too'd? Like the actual Swamp Thing?
Oh, like somebody like near the swamp, swamp adjacent?
Yeah, and they were like, oh man, that guy's a bad dude, and then they just canceled the show. We don't want to face it.
One, you're stupid. Two, you're stupid.
Thank you.
But it is crazy that it aired one single show and they're like, season canceled.
Something going
on,
right?
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good, you guys.
Is Swamp Thing a superhero?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good point.
Important clarification.
I didn't know.
I mean, I don't know if you'd call him a superhero in the same way you would Superman, but he's part of a superhero universe.
Okay, all right.
He's not a real person.
Well, I know that. This is what I was trying to avoid when I started before the rap.
No,
right
what I'm saying
second,
is
right here.
I just didn't understand what Swamp Thing was. That's
I'll give
all.
You a couple guesses as to what Swamp Thing is.
I mean, I know that he's a thing in a swamp. I get that. But I'm trying to understand the show. So you're saying is he a good guy or a bad guy?
He's been both.
Oh.
I didn't watch the show, though, so I don't know. But he's been both,
All right. Back
What's
to
going
you.
On?
Yeah, good question, sir.
I mean, come on, you guys.
Nope, not yet.
Not yet.
Just yet. So close, though. You guys watching Chernobyl any of you watch that on HBO?
That is up next for me. I cannot wait. I've heard great things about it, and it has one of my favorite actors in the world. What's his name?
Are you clapping by yourself?
Jared Smith, is that his name?
His name is Jared Harris.
Jared Harris.
Yeah. I can't wait for that show.
Oh, my God. Allie, this news is amazing.
Why do you bring it up? What's going on with Chernobyl?
I'm bringing it up because it was like gangbusters on HBO. People are digging it.
That's where the Swamp Thing came from.
Very different.
I think that's
very
true.
Very different. But not surprisingly, you know who didn't enjoy it? The Russian government.
The Russians.
You know, they like to control a lot of the media in the country, so there's been a lot of prominent backlash on their airwaves against Chernobyl. And President Putin, known to not be a big fan of things that paint Russia in a bad light.
Was this in the news?
But he is a huge fan of dictating history. So he reportedly wants a Russian network to broadcast a new series in which the CIA is held responsible for the nuclear catastrophe.
Drama queen.
Rewriting a little history.
Wow.
There. Yeah.
I don't believe we were involved in any aspect of Chernobyl.
You haven't seen the show.
Yeah. Okay. And you haven't seen his version.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Okay. You can't judge it till you've seen it, man.
Unbelievable.
The ending is just the change. It's like Chernobyl's, you know, exploding and nuclear power everywhere. And then they just cut over and a white dude, sorry. It's like an American guy.
I just wanted to see what that button did.
Oh, shoot.
It's like, Americans.
It was a horrible situation. We shouldn't be making light of the Chernobyl disaster.
That's my fault.
That was Italian.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. All right.
I made a mistake.
That's still Italian?
I think so.
Okay.
What would a British guy sound like, Bean?
It's not my fault. I didn't do it.
When his finger's on the button.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you think the Queen's response to that would be?
It was the British guy we just heard.
Wow.
Wow, throwing one of your own under the bus.
He's not a real British guy.
Oh.
Oh, and you're the real queen. Step outside, Kevin.
Oh, man. Wow,
what, Kevin? What are you talking about?
Strangely personal. Guys, Margot Robbie, sure, she's a pretty face, but she's so much more. In the cover story for July's Vogue, she says she can't stand being called a bombshell. Here's her quote. I hate that word. I hate it so much.
Same.
I feel like a brat saying that because there are worse things. But I'm not a bombshell. I'm not someone who walks in a room and the record stops and people turn and they're like, look at that woman. That doesn't happen. Yes, it does, Margot Robbie.
Here's the thing about that happening. It does.
It does happen. You might not literally hear the record scratch, but it happens.
I can understand why she doesn't want to be pigeonholed that way.
You don't want to just be known as a bombshell. She's also an incredibly talented actress. And from all accounts, very kind. Has a great little accent.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Embrace the bombshell as well.
Oh, she just walked in the room.
Hey, Margo.
Hello. Hey, Margot Robbie.
She, it is true.
Sorry! That was him
the
again.
Italian guy.
It was his fault that Margot
that
Robbie
was the Italian guy?
What does the British guy think about her walking in the room?
Oh, she's so hot.
Okay, that was weird, and it sounded like your mouth was full of marbles.
It was full of saliva is what it was full
Ew!
Of.
Let's wrap it up.
Please.
Bean, stop clapping.
That's not me.
That was a weird thing.
That's my fault.
I was just excited about Chernobyl.
Yes,
that's
all.
It was so weird.
Remember when we promised this would be a good one?
Right?
Oh,
Bean's
God.
Like, what are you talking about? And Kevin jinxed it.
This is what I'm talking about.
If we're really going to say jinxing it, maybe talking about how the last one should be good, let's not jinx it, you should have just led with the rap instead of talking before the rap.
I was confused by that. I'm going to be honest.
Me too.
Because we do have a standard
protocol.
Do you
know what I was saying now?
Yes, I do. Okay. Turned out you were right.
All right.
Happy birthday, Michael Cera, Bear Grylls, Allen Iverson, Dave Navarro, Bill Hader, Iggy Azalea, Mick Foley, and Liam Neeson. And that's what's happening. Oh, my God, Weenie Rose.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Hopeful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker and Klein's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today. We will see you tomorrow at 1 p.m. with a commercial-free broadcast from the Weenie Rose.
Let's risk it.
Yep. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
it over to me.
Your mom's an asshole.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
What would you ever do with that much meat?
This one seems to be about quit.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
And I need another hit.
I was just trying to make it sound like I didn't have a mouthful of nuts.
What? I'm going to need
just
that
nuts.
Tape, Chip.
Just eating some nuts.
Please mark Kevin's mouthful of nuts.
Roll.
I love areola.
Just like the other one.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
This one seems to be about spent.
Some dreams come true.
And I don't have another cent.
Signing off for InfoWars.com, I'm Alex Jones. If you're watching this transmission, you know it. You are the resistance.
Dude, that is awesome.
Just pass it around.
Peter's gonna hate.
And the bogart that joined my friend.
Kevin, you're right. You are right as always.
Just pass it on down.
Oh. All right, guys, I think I'm going to leave it at that. That was, again, another helping of hot garbage, another helping of hot trash, and we will catch you at some point. I love you forever.
I believe I'm totally done with this show. I'm totally done.
Jensen Karp being cleared out of the way.
It ends now!
What?
It all ends now!
That's how we do it. You better learn that shit. Rewind it, play it again, mother
bong bong.